Hi, everybody. This is Brad with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, Columbia and Greene Counties, 90.7 on the dial.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Andrea Makel reports for Porcupine Soup that the village of Catskill is facing a $20 million civil lawsuit because Jason Jones died in the police station there. While the New York State Attorney General declined to file charges after police officers fired a taser at Jones, who had just covered himself in hand sanitizer. Jones then caught on fire. The officers can be seen on a video recording running away from Jones rather than helping him. Jones died weeks after the October 2021 incident in a hospital burn unit. Officers said they were running to find a fire extinguisher. The three police officers involved, Mark Nassi, Daniel Goldpaw, and Nicholas Craig, were not charged. The civil case brought by Jones' family continues. Thomas Murphy, the attorney representing the village of Catskill in the lawsuit, issued subpoenas last month to both the attorney general and the state police for their case files, and a telephone status conference is set for November 7th before U.S. District Court Judge Andrew Baxter. And you can read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul signed a law on November 6th creating a statewide directory of licensed doulas enrolled in Medicaid, and that made doula services covered for New Yorkers enrolled in Medicaid starting January 1st. Hochul said, and I quote, "We're going to make doula care as accessible to as many New Yorkers as possible in communities where they're needed the most," end quote. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data showed that national infant mortality rose 3% last year, the biggest increase in 20 years. Doulas help mothers before, during, and after labor, providing emotional support and giving them an advocate with health professionals. The National Institute of Health says women who use a doula have a 39% decreased need for a C-section and reduced risk of premature deliveries and likelihood of postpartum depression. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. The final New York foliage report of the season has nearly all leaves at past peak colors this week. It says, and I quote, "Columbia County spotters in Hudson predict that foliage will be just past peak with 95% color change and average to bright shades of gold, orange, and yellow, plus hints of red. Dutchess County spotters from Beacon and Fishkill report peak and just past peak foliage with 70% change and bright green leaves mixed with yellow, orange, and red," end quote. Read more about this story at the New York Foliage Report. And that wraps up the WGXC
News update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, November 10th. Local early morning temperatures range from 32 degrees in Steventown to 45 in Voorheesville. Regional average soil temperature is 44 degrees. Today will be mostly cool and cloudy. Sun hopefully breaks out by the end of the day. Overnight temperatures dip to 37 degrees. Then tomorrow will be chilly with a strong breeze and a high of 47. Layer up if you head out in the sunny afternoon. 28 freezing degrees takes us into an also chilly Sunday with a high of 43. Monday, still dry, high of 47. Sunset today will be at 4:27 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:37 a.m. Looking way up, we see a polar absorption event is underway because of yesterday's halo eruption. In addition, we have an Hadouken strike watch on for tomorrow. Plasma winds will be average at 577 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 8 MHz till dark. You're probably not going to reach McMurdo, though, with the poles lit up the way they are. But I'm not going to stop you from trying. Especially overnight when conditions will be fair all the way down below 60 megahertz. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 93. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a survive-all shelter today.
When a fight was right, so they sent him to the war.
Very well gone away, there's nothing left to say.
With Sancho Joe and an Aaron Gold, my love's in America. The calling of the rosary, Spanish wine from far away.
I'm a free-born man of the USA. Yeah!
I remembered how I swore that I'd come back to you one day. And as the sunset came to meet the evening on a hill,
always love you, I always did, I always will. Very well, gone away, there's nothing left to say. But say adieu to your eyes as blue as the water in the bay. To beach and door, a man of war who was often heard to say, I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA.
You might be wondering that what that's all about, but there are two things you should note. First of all, I'm back. That's right. Me, Tommy D, the co-host of the Thursday afternoon show. And I am still your president. That's right. That was the presidential theme song because I was reelected for my fourth, that's right, count them folks, fourth term as the city council president here in beautiful Hudson, NY. That's right, folks. Yet again, you can't get rid of me. Okay, it wasn't such a big surprise, and that's for a simple reason. What's that reason? Well, no one ran against me. Now, you might, you know, a lot of people complain about that, and I kind of sympathize with them. I like running for office. I like getting out, meeting the people. And when there's nobody running against you, the incentive is not there to meet a lot of people. Though, you know, getting the names for the petitions to get on the ballot was made up for some of that, but not enough. So when I run next time, somebody run against me. Just, you know, it'll make everybody happier, including me. Maybe that's all I'll say about my own election. Along with Mayor Kamal Johnson and Treasurer Heather Campbell. oddly enough, we all got different numbers, which is funny in light of things. I mean, Heather, the least known and mysterious Heather Campbell, got the most votes. Good for her. Then Kamal, and then sad little me. Oh, how sad. Not really. You know, the people who don't like us, they got to vote for somebody, so they either don't vote, which is called undervoting, or they do some write-ins, and I'd love to see what those write-ins are. I hear, it's been reported here on WGXC, that there's been a FOIL request to see who the write-ins wrote in, which would be amusing, of course. In any case, we're here for another two terms. And by we, I mean Kamal, Heather, and me. Now, my regular co-host, Sila, is not here yet. And I hope it's not because she's depressed. Now, I don't know exactly what the final... I think her, you know, she ran for town council in Claverock. And I'm not sure they've declared the final winner for all the seats. I may be wrong, but when she gets in, we'll find out what the deal is. She made a noble effort, got a lot of votes, as did her fellow Democrat running. But, you know, Claverock is apparently old school. Now, having said that, the big news, the really important news, is that the county in the top three important countywide elections went completely blue. That's right, completely blue. And you might be wondering how that happened. Well, there's a lot of reasons. One, first of all, there are more and more Democrats have moved here, is part of the reason. Secondly, the three winners, and congrats to all three, Chris Liberati Conant, Brian Herman, and the great Mike Howard. They got out there, folks. They were out there everywhere, on the street, knocking doors. They did what you got to do to get elected. And you may not think it's as earth-shattering as some of us who've lived here for a little longer do. But mind you, that district attorney's office was dominated by the previous DA. And he kind of handpicked this Republican who lost. And it's a major thing. The age of Paul Chyka is over. Now, whether that's good or bad, that's for you to determine. But, you know, he had as many as he had many admirers and many detractors as well. But I guess he was trying to preserve his legacy with his handpicked successor, who, I got to say, in my own encounters, was not very impressive. Not to mention twice he was called out by judges, and not liberal judges, Republican judges, for not following the rules of criminal procedure. How do you like that? So one could say he probably deserved to lose. Moving right along. It's weird to be back in the studio. I miss the studio. I miss you guys. And guys, you know, means everybody. Because, you know, I love being here. You know what I missed? I missed the pledge drive because, you know, I feel that, and it is an obligation, something everybody who is on the air here should be doing. And we were off the air because, oh, in case, I don't know if I made it clear, Celia and I both had to be off the air because we were running for office so that there's no conflict involved with our nonprofit station. Can't be endorsing candidates, and it's felt that if we're on the air, it's an implicit endorsement in some way, even though, with the exception of this very minute, we didn't really discuss a lot of local politics on the air, certainly not about ourselves, although I gotta admit they occasionally crept in. So I could go on a little bit more, I suppose, about what it means for Kamal and me and Heather to get elected again. I think it essentially means we're going to try to continue what we're doing. And a big moment in that continuation is, of course, ground was broken on North 7th Street for 70 units of housing at the higher end of affordability, which isn't to say market rate. Still below market rate, but for workers, for middle class people, and let's hope it's a great project as it begins. And it shouldn't take a lot of time, because it's an independent contractor, not the entity who's the developer. We need not go into that. And of course, there are two other major projects in the work in the city of Hudson. And boy, when we can break ground on the next two as well, we'll have satisfied our promise of creating more housing, because it's so needed. And, you know, you talk about a lot of national issues, and they're important. But as a local politician, there's not a hell of a lot you can do about, oh, let's say, war or military spending. But there is a lot you can do about housing, which is a national issue that can be attacked on a local level. And that's what this administration is trying to do, trying to add housing. Because I don't think anyone denies that there is not enough housing everywhere, but including Hudson. And what's happened here in Hudson is we've priced out a lot of the middle class and below income earners due to the rise in housing prices and housing costs. So, you know, if you're a kind of neoliberal type, you'll say, oh, but you're not, you know, creating a route to ownership. Well, you know, yeah, that's good luck with that. It's not an easily done thing, and it's not something that government can do quite easily, given the costs of building these days. So creating any kind of housing is a good thing, even to the extent that we support developers who want to create market housing. We haven't tried to prevent that in any way. So things look good here in Hudson. Tonight, in fact, down at City Hall, which is currently still at the firehouse on North 7th, the mayor will present the budget that he and the treasurer and myself worked on, dug into. And it should be interesting to see how the community responds. Things cost more. We all know that. Everything's gone up. And, you know, when things go up, it includes employees, civil employees, you know, our police, our clerks, our DPW. They have to be able to afford their food, their housing. So they're looking for increases. And, you know, the way it works also is that we rely on, you have to have contracts with a lot of your providers, whether it's your internet provider or your the person who provides your Xerox machine or your copier machines or whatever. And those are all contractual. And you can imagine in this time of so-called inflation, they all have jacked up their prices. I say so-called inflation because inflation is, for the most part, created by greedy owners. You know, it's kind of got that snowball effect. You hear inflation, everybody thinks, oh, maybe I'll start jacking up my prices. And, you know, when it just creates its own after effects. If I start charging you more for eggs, your restaurant has to start charging the customer more. It's that simple. And that's unfortunately the simple-minded version of how it works.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Well, we get a break for 4 hours, but as soon as that 4 hours is over, then what? How dare we treat humans in that way?
Progressive Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush says the four-hour humanitarian pauses Israel has agreed to in Gaza aren't enough. She says anything less than a ceasefire is inhumane. In a rare show of unity during a debate that did get ugly Wednesday night, the Republican presidential candidates all supported Israel's military actions. Nikki Haley is a former UN ambassador.
Last thing we need to do is to tell Israel what to do. The only thing we should be doing is supporting them and eliminating Hamas.
At one point, Haley called businessman Vivek Ramaswamy scum for bringing up her daughter. Far away, frontrunner former President Donald Trump did not debate, but held a rally nearby. With just days for Congress to find a way to keep the government open, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Democrats will not pay a ransom to Republican demands. He says the way forward is a bipartisan agreement.
And if Republicans are unable to do that over the next few days, then the only approach is to pass a continuing resolution at the fiscal year 2023 levels.
On Thursday, conservative West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin said he won't seek re-election. And another worry for Democrats is that Manchin hasn't ruled out a third-party run for president.
What I will be doing is traveling the country and speaking out to see if there is an interest in creating a movement to mobilize the middle and bring Americans together.
The Senate map looks increasingly tough for Democrats, with incumbent senators John Tester in Montana and Sherrod Brown in Ohio both on the ballot. But Democrats just had a very good election, often defending abortion rights. Former Republican Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum is reacting to successful Ohio referendums on abortion and marijuana by criticizing direct democracy.
Thank goodness that most of the states in this country don't allow you to put everything on the ballot, because pure democracies are not the way to run a country.
Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville is still defending his block on hundreds of military promotions. He says he opposes the Pentagon's policy of paying for staff's travel to get an abortion.
Let me remind everybody, Congress never voted for this. We also never appropriated money for this. There is no law that allows this administration to do this.
Saturday is Veterans Day. On Sunday, a salute to service halftime show at the Cowboys-Giants game will honor 16 recipients of the Medal of Honor, the nation's highest award for battlefield valor. Army Lieutenant Colonel William Swenson won the medal, helping save more than a dozen lives during a six-hour firefight after an ambush in Afghanistan.
I'll be out there on the field on that day. What we'll be representing, though, is the character of all Americans and the heroism that all Americans have access to through their everyday lives.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last week, we discussed the president's broad powers and some limitations to issue a pardon. But can a U.S. president pardon him or herself? Former President Trump tweeted in 2018, "I have the absolute right to pardon myself," and he discussed that possibility after the January 6th insurrection, according to the New York Times. Professor Michael J. Conklin of Texas A&M Law School and Angelo State University examined law review articles on self-pardons and conducted his own survey of 95 law school faculty around the country. He found that while a slight majority of scholars think that answer is no, it's far from definitive. One legal principle dating back to the 1500s states, "No one is judge in his own cause." Some point to the Constitution's language giving the president authority to pardon any citizen, except in cases involving impeachment. Others cite a U.S. Justice Department memo after Watergate, which concluded the president cannot self-pardon. Yet other experts say the Constitution inherently opposes self-dealing. In U.S. v. Wilson, Justice John Marshall wrote, "A pardon is an act of grace proceeding from the power entrusted with the execution of laws. One cannot bestow grace upon oneself." One thing on which most scholars do agree, if such a pardon were to occur, it would ultimately be decided upon by the U.S. Supreme Court. We have links to these discussions at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we head to Copaig with PG6, Pat Gubler's 2023 album Murmurs and Whispers. This is "I Don't Want to Be Free."
Thank you.
just be swept away. Washed away by the tide, carried away. At last I saw you. You were thriving on the shore. Barely thought of me anymore. You'll see how you are hated. See how you are despised. That you are ruined, how you've been cast aside. How you long to be free. But you are swept away. Washed away by the tide, carried away. I rejoiced in your suffering, but in the end it came to nothing. Washed away by the tide, carried away. Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Efforts in the Capital District to stop the killings in Gaza by Israel, with United States financial and military support, continued on Thursday, November 9th, with well over 100 individuals rallying outside of Congress member Paul Tonko's office on Dove Street in Albany, urging him to support a ceasefire. A die-in for over an hour was held on the street in front of his office as the names of some of the 10,000 killed, many of them children, were read. The Muslim community will hold a peace rally at the West Capitol Park at noon on Saturday, November 11th. We hear from among others, Karen Carmelli of Jewish Voices for Peace, a staff person for Congressmember Tonko, and Reverend West McNeil of the New York State Labor Religion Coalition.
Carmelli, I'm with the Albany chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace. We are here today to mourn the dead and fight for the living. This is the fifth public action organized by the Palestinian Rights Committee and the Albany chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, as well as other partner organizations like Saratoga Black Lives Matter, Troy for Black Lives, and Women Against War over the past month. There have also been several other local actions at the Capitol, on our campuses. We have been calling personally and writing Representative Tonko and our senators, calling daily. And hundreds of us from the Capitol region boarded buses over the weekend and stood shoulder to shoulder, 300,000 strong in Washington, D.C., in the biggest rally for Palestinian rights in this nation's history this past week. It's clear the people of the Capitol region demand a ceasefire now. Stand here today, more than 10,000 Palestinians in Gaza have been murdered by Israel with bombs gifted to them by our government, paid for with our taxes. More than 4,000 children. Thousands more are trapped under rubble, and more will die of starvation, thirst, and preventable illness as long as Israel, abetted by the U.S., continues denying life-saving necessities. When is enough enough? A Data for Progress poll released a couple of weeks ago showed that 66% of the U.S. public was strongly in favor of a ceasefire. 80% of Democrats polled agreed. 80% agreed. On October 20th, a State Department official resigned from the Biden administration due to a, quote, policy disagreement concerning our continued lethal assistance to Israel. He went on to say, quote, this administration's response, and much of Congress's as well, is an impulsive reaction built on confirmation bias, political convenience, intellectual bankruptcy, and bureaucratic inertia. And just yesterday, over 100 congressional staffers, the people answering our calls every day, hearing our frustration, walked out in protest and said, quote, most of our bosses on Capitol Hill are not listening to the people they represent. We demand our leaders speak up, call for a ceasefire, a release of all hostages, and an immediate de-escalation now. Very clear, the people demand an end to Israel's bloodshed, terror, and displacement in Gaza. Not a humanitarian pause, as Congressman Tonko has called for. By not calling for a ceasefire, Tonko is failing to represent his constituents. What is a humanitarian pause? What does that even mean? We demand that he endorse Representative Cori Bush's ceasefire resolution immediately to prevent further loss of innocent life. Opposing genocide is always the right thing to do. The U.S. has the power to end this genocide today and demand justice and self-determination for Palestinians who have been denied their homeland and rights for 75 years. It must do so now. We are now going to start the die-in, and we will read names of only a few of the martyrs, 10,000 names. We couldn't possibly get through them all.
1 year old. Mian Yahya Youssef Al-Astal. Less than 1 year old. Salam Wail Ahmed Al Astal, less than 1 year old. Zien Al-Din Suleiman Moin Al-Najjar, less than 1 year old. Yasmin Ramirez Abdul Razak Al-Masri, less than 1 year old.
Abdel Bayouk, 17 years old. Uday Makram Auni Barba, 17 years old. Mohammed Iyad Hamdan Tota, 18 years old. Mohammed Taufik Izat Said Sakala, 18 years old.
Zaki Hassan Khalil Al-Tahrawi, 67 years old. Mahmoud Saeed Mustafa Baraka, 67 years old. Haya Khalil Adusoki Al-Umrani, 67 years old.
But I just wanted to say, this is a small list, but their lives matter. Their souls deserved more. We are not numbers. The American government, people, we are not numbers. We deserve dignity and the right to self-determination. Free Palestine!
Representative from the congressman here that would like to make a few words, and while she's coming up to say a few things, we'd also like to share with her to give to Representative Tonko the poster here that we've made of just an even smaller number of the people that we've lost since October 7th. And it, attached to it, in case you haven't had a chance to see it, is a diary entry from Plestia, who is a journalist currently on the ground in Gaza, writing about just one day in her life there now. So we would like to give this to you to share with Representative Tonko to remind him, as was mentioned before, that these are not just numbers, they're people who have lives and aspirations and dreams. So thank you, I'll pass it over to you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to address you here this evening. First and foremost, on behalf of Congressman Tonko, who's currently on his way back from legislative business in Washington, D.C. I want to, on behalf of our office, take this opportunity to thank you all for being here this evening, for expressing your grief, for sharing your views, and taking the time to, again, join with Congressman Tonko and our team in sharing how important this issue is to you, how important this issue is to our community, and for practicing a very important component of what makes a democracy, just sharing your voice and showing up. So thank you for that. Just very briefly, I'd like to share Congressman Tonko's top concerns are avoiding further deaths of innocent civilians and facilitating the return of all hostages, which is why he has called for an immediate stop to the violence in Gaza and continues to call for aid workers to be allowed to deliver the food, water, medical care, and resources needed in Gaza. The congressman continues to monitor the situation closely and is deeply appreciative of the many constituents who are raising their voices on this issue. So again, I appreciate the opportunity to gather here with you this evening on Congressman Tonko's behalf. And like I said, my colleague Monica and I are here to hear your concerns and to share your feedback with Congressman Tonko.
He has blood on his hands. Blood on his hands!
Ceasefire now!
Reverend West McNeil, here with the Labor Religion Coalition of New York State and the New York State Poor People's Campaign. And just to lift up what others just said, we appreciate the congressperson sending a message. We are very clear here. What is needed is a ceasefire, which is more than just a pause. It's more than just a stop in violence. We need a ceasefire. And there's a resolution that exists, clear about that. And we need him to add his name and speak up clearly and publicly about the need for a ceasefire. That is what will prevent further loss of life.
Not a humanitarian vibe.
I want to read a poem as we're starting to wind down this beautiful and sacred and heart-wrenching space. It's called Summons by Aurora Levens Morales. Last night I dreamed 10,000 grandmothers from the 1,200 corners of the earth walked out into the gap, one breath deep, between the bullets and the flesh, between the bomb and the family. They told me we cannot wait for governments. There are no peacekeepers boarding planes. There are no leaders who dare to say every life is precious. So it will have to be us. They said we will cup our hands around each heart. We will sing the earth's song, the song of water, a song so beautiful that vengeance will turn to weeping. The mourners will embrace and grief replace every impulse toward harm. 10,000 is not enough, they said. So we have sent this dream like a flock of doves into the sleep of the world. Wake up, put on your shoes. You who are hearing this, I am bringing bandages and a bag of scented guavas for my trees. I think I remember the tune. Meet me at the corner. And we are going to continue to gather and raise our voices and hold each other and lift up this immense loss that continues every day until a ceasefire is here.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Broken bottles, broken leaves, broken.
And now, here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature high near 54 degrees. On Friday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And on Saturday, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 49 degrees. And on Saturday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 28 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Signal fading, listen to what I'm saying. Testing, testing, this better be worth all of the breath I'm wasting. Maintaining radio silence from now on. Barricaded the talk radio station, hostage taken, the red on LH chance on something cheaper, that passes for free speech will have to do. String starts strumming, another humdrum conundrum. Signing off now, maintaining radio silence from now on. But there's one thing I should have said, the hostage will dead. It's just a comedy, the hostage is me. So pay the ransom, be on the run at proving, get my wife down here. Helicopter on the roof, no police marksman, maintaining radio silence from now on. Mystery voices drowned out by too much choice, there's not to mention the sad waste of this wonderful invention, maintaining radio silence from now on. Libraries filled up with failed ideas, there's nothing more for me there.
From a distance, it's hard to tell the difference.
between a kid and a chair and a poet and a head.